Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Sometimes good people, people who try to do good in the world, people who take care of themselves and of others, sometimes bad things befall them. Dr. Rick Holm is a physician, a husband, a father, a singer. You might know him from his 15 seasons of On Call with the Prairie Doc on SDPB television. We talked with him on Dakota Midday earlier this year to honor his induction into the South Dakota Hall of Fame. Today, he has cancer. Today, surgeons operate on Rick Holm to find out whether or not his cancer has spread. Today, he finds out if there is an unexpected time limit on the length of his life, or today he finds out his path to the future. Tom Dempster and Rick Holm are friends. They sat down together, as they have over the past 20 years, to talk. This time, however, they recorded their conversation in the hopes it might have something to offer the rest of us. Tom begins by reading words Dr. Holm wrote about illness and about savoring life.
Early October, my belly started aching in over a week with good local care, and after extensive testing, the diagnosis of cancer of the bile duct and pancreatic cancer came upon me. Our large team of multi-specialists met and discussed my options, and they think I might have a chance at a surgical cure, but have recommended pre-surgery chemotherapy, which has been started. When they go in surgically to remove the tumor, we will learn if it is spread or not. So I am facing a formidable challenge, and as an experienced internist, I probably understand the process more than almost anyone. I could add here that I have explored every option, including the Mayo and elsewhere, nutritional alternatives, everything. I am very comfortable with my recognized and experienced surgeon in Sioux Falls and his partner, the oncologist. I also realize there is a significant chance that the tumor has spread and long-term chemo may be my option. A dear psychologist minister friend from afar wrote and asked how my soul is with all of this and how should he pray for me. My answer is as follows. Dear Steve, I was 16 when I faced the sudden accidental death of my older sister. Add to that, I've been a geriatrician for 11 years and hospice director for more than 20. So you know I've been living with the reality of my own death for a long time. My faith surrounds and envelops me. I'm okay with dying. I'm trying to put it off as long as I can, but I'm okay if it happens sooner. I have had an absolutely great life, loved and played with gusto, gathered all the fun I could have at every juncture. I have done my level best to help people with the tools of my profession, and I even know that some days I made a difference. I've tried to be 100% honest at every turn. I'm surrounded by a wonderful spouse and honest, creative kids. I'm writing a book about healthcare at the end of life. Our multi-faith choir sings hymns weekly to people in need. All that helps. Maybe I'm naive, but I sense my soul is content and even joyful. If I die from pancreatic cancer at 67 or 68, my family will suffer some. But I know that in the long run, they will celebrate my life, and I would encourage that. My tombstone will allude to my oft-repeated comment, as we sail, even when there is no wind, we're not dead in the water. My tombstone shall read, finally, dead in the water. I love it, humor even unto death. So you ask how I want you to pray? I would ask you to pray that all of us see and accept our own dying process. Pray that we learn to savor every moment, every friend, every grandeur, smudge, scent, splash of the world around us. And pray that we find a way to open our hearts to others, walk in another's moccasins, and find compassion even for our enemies. That is my prayer for all of you. That's quite a letter, Dr. Holm.
Thank you. Not one that I expected to write. I mean, I've been a very healthy guy. And
You've been the epitome of health. I think anyone that I would know would look at you and say, oh my God, that man looks like he's 25 or 30 yeah. younger than he really is. I wouldn't know that it would be possible yeah. to be that fit and that trim.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one lesson I think that people should glean, and that is that that what happens to us really is sometimes nothing that you can control.
Beyond our control.
That's right. And I mean, you know, I think you see cancer occurring in modern day right now, and it happens like a person who has cancer of the lung, and they've been a smoker, and immediately we all go, oh, well, he deserves that. I mean, you should have been better at taking care of yourself.
There's a nod there when that's said, isn't there?
There is. It's yeah. a blame thing. Blame, yeah. blame, blame. You know, yeah. you get it should have happened that way, you know, that type of thing. And I think one of the lessons in this story is that I don't know what I could have done different. I mean, I've been a pretty healthy guy, but I can tell you I didn't do it so I wouldn't die of cancer. Yeah. I led this wonderful, healthy, physically active life because it really helps me mentally,
yeah,
psychologically.
Of course it does. Yeah, of
course I just
it does.
Feel so much better. I just feel emotionally better to do it. That's the reason why I've been physically active. So take this lesson. We don't deserve any of these things that can happen to us in our lives. We don't. It's not okay. So you
use the word befall.
Yeah. It has befallen you for who knows why. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing is, you know, that's a modern statement. It is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not quite certain what that means. I suppose that's an acceptance.
It's nobody's fault. It's there. There it is. I mean, another statement that's kind of modern is, it happens. Not necessarily meaning it. And that's
what, I think I get your meaning.
Dr. Bob Bell, you know, probably in his late 80s said that to me as he was dying, and I just kind of went up to hug him last time. He was in hospice at the Doherty House in Sioux Falls, and I said, I just feel so terrible about it. And he said, it happens, Rick. So that's part of it. But I think also, since I've been a geriatrician all these years, you know, I said from the beginning, 35 years that I've been a geriatrician.
Just a baby.
No,
not just a baby.
That these things can happen, and the end of life can come, and we too often are afraid of, filled with fear of death. And generally somewhere in there, maybe in their 80s or something, somebody goes, click, it's, you know what, it's, I'm not afraid of dying.
Yeah.
I've had a good life.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it goes with, for those who have had a good life. And boy, I sure have had a wonderful life. I mean, I'm just about the most fortunate guy I've had. I wouldn't have done a thing different. And, you know, my being a physician has been such a rewarding experience. I just can't, you know, it's been wonderful. And
your friends who know you, and there are thousands, your friends who know you say, what? Rick?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and so it is. It is what it is. You know the first time I heard this? I mean, I was in the middle of this it is what it is kind of saying that to people. I think it really feels about right. And I'm reading Black Elk Speaks.
Oh, one of my favorite books. One of my all-time favorite books.
Yes, the interpretation of an Indian medicine man who didn't speak English to the poet laureate of Nebraska.
Right.
Right, who is, by the way, my cousin's great uncle. But the American Indian Black Elk was saying in
was that Kuzer?
His name is John. John. I would have his name at the tip of my. I'll remember later.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, so will I. after you remind me. Yeah. Only after you remind me.
But Black Elk said in Sioux Indian, and they interpreted it in English, it is as it is. When he was referring to something that happened that wasn't fair, that just kind of happened. And he said, 100 years ago, it is as it is. I thought, it isn't a new statement. Black Elk said it.
One of my favorite books, and I'm rereading it for the third or fourth time, is Ruth B.B. Hill's Hanta-Yo.
Hanta-Yo.
Hanta-Yo, H-A-N-T-A-Y-O. And it's about a young brave in the early 1800s living in South Dakota. Ruth B.B. Hill had lived in Pine Ridge for, I think, a number of months. She wrote the book, didn't like the way that the book sounded, so she had it translated in Lakota, and then had it retranslated back into English.
Oh, so it had the version.
So the syntax and the rhythm and everything was the same.
Yeah, wow.
But what you were doing in this process is what that brave did on the prairie, Hanta-Yo, Hanta-Yo. I am here. It is now. I exist. I am strong. Hanta-Yo.
Hanta-Yo. I love it. That's it. So, gee, you know, it is. I feel brave. I feel strong.
You are.
And I exist.
What's next?
Well, I mean, I might.
December 5th is an important day.
December 5th, they will open my belly. This is less than a week and a half. Well, it's a week and a half. And find if it's spread or not.
Yeah.
If it has spread, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And there will be probably chemotherapy and so on, but there will be a time limit on the length of my life, and it will be limited, you know, a year at the most, probably, that kind of a thing. If it is not spread, or the chemotherapy shrunk it to an operable size, and they can say after they remove a part of my pancreas and part of my bile tract.
That's the Whipple procedure?
The Whipple procedure, yeah. And part of the stomach and part of the small intestine.
A fairly major surgery.
It's a big son of a gun.
You don't mean gun, do you?
No. No. And there's no scopes or robots or anything. It's the old-fashioned way. They open it up and the liver transplant surgeon from Avera, McKinnon Hospital, Abdul Karim, Dr. Abdul Karim from Syria. Originally from Syria, now from Sioux Falls.
Pretty timely in the context of today.
Yeah, as his hometown is the city that's getting most of the
Aleppo.
Yeah, Aleppo. And so he will go in there and take that surgery, take that all those nodes and that whole area, and then reconnect everything. And then under the microscope, they'll look to see if there's spread of tissue, and we'll learn. And then on recovery, I'm going to celebrate Christmas with my family, and then I'm going to go to the British Virgin Islands and go sailing. Which to me is a place to recover, you know. Dear friend of mine, I urged him to come along and go sailing, and he did, recovering from a cancer surgery.
Sure.
And as soon as that sun hit him, you know, you could just see him getting better every single day. It was just a beautiful thing. Matter of a week, he was back to his normal self. The sun, you know, the source of our energy, right?
So. Yep.
Yeah, so it's an interesting experience, and I would hope that people think about the danger of fearing death, because with fear, people panic, people are not happy, they can't concentrate on what is important, they use up the valuable time that they have, fearing, and then the time is gone. And sometimes they run right into the jaws of failure. And
sure.
I know, I've watched it, that fear, particularly fear of death, is harmful, and that we should have the courage of a dear friend. I have Dave Dotson, who faced cancer death with a great deal of courage. I watched him take it with a hero's
journey,
gesture, and journey, and then pass away gently into this night. And so, I'm not afraid of that either. My concern, of course, is pain, and I just trust my doctors will take care of me in that regard if I have it. And we can do a whole lot better in that regard than we used to. So that would be a lesson. The two lessons would be to know that you shouldn't carry a guilt about any diagnosis that you have. That what you have, you know, your doctors are endeavoring to help you as much as they can and not to put any guilt on you. And that it's fruitless to do so. And the second lesson is that whatever happens, you know, none of us get away from this earth with alive.
Immortality.
No.
We do not, do we?
No. So I've often said it, you know, in these years that I've talked about dying as a hospice director, you know, we should all get the diagnosis of cancer once every year, get cured, so that we know how to save our life. Yeah. And then about a year later, when we've forgotten that lesson,
yeah,
get that diagnosis again, get a cure.
You've been listening to Tom Dempster in conversation with his friend, Dr. Rick Holm. Dr. Holm is host and producer of On Call with the Prairie Doc on SDPB television. Today, he has surgery to discover if his cancer has spread. His recommendation is to savor life. We end now with a song. Here's Rick Holm singing It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, hast the day when my face shall sight the clouds be rolled back with a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.